Welcome to a spooky episode of Keep It.
They're all spooky.
It's October. It's Halloween, almost.
Louis, how can I tell you? I walked in this morning and Louis complimented my outfit. And you know why? It's one of my fall looks.
Oh my God, I'm being trapped.
Which is why...
You're using a compliment against me.
Yeah, I am. Which is why you liked it so much.
Yes. Well, let's just say something. I mean, do you not think October's a tragic time when white people try to wear orange? I mean, it's just a sad time. Picture me in orange. You're already crying.
I mean, if we didn't like things because white people ruined them...
There'd be nothing left. Say, truly.
I'd be in a casket.
We'd be down to, like, plants.
I hate life.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's October. It is fall, and other than Kara turning out looks, Cardi B is as well.
I know.
First of all, Kara complimented Cardi's stylist on Instagram, and I want to know who this person is.
Colin Carter is his name.
He is serving.
Cardi has been looking unbelievable lately, and I think maybe if it were me, I would think as she gets more and more wild, she's just going to look better and better.
You would say refined and refined, like Queen Frostine from Candyland.
As she sort of starts to act crazier to maybe balance it all out.
Cardi debuted her blonde platinum hair on Monday morning as she turned herself into the New York Police Department for reportedly ordering an attack on two bartenders at a New York strip club because she thinks one of them slept with Offset.
It's actually kind of impressive that no one really had heard much about this case until she showed up at court, which is just because she's making news in so many other ways that this fully fell by the wayside.
Also, Cardi B makes me miss Behind the Music. Like, do you remember, like, Lisa Left Eye Lopez being like, when she talked about burning that house down?
Threw all the sneakers in the bathtub
yes,
and set it on
I
fire.
I put the sneakers in the tub and lit them. Mm. Yes. Cardi B would get an episode of Behind the Music and just kill it. Be like, well, I did have to unfortunately slap that bartender that one time. Yes. Next. You know?
She would. I wish we could have heard what she said in court.
Oh, yeah. I want to see, like, the brooch she wore in court. I want there to be a whole production associated
with
her.
Was she actually in court, or was she just turning
herself
in
for the mugshot? I don't know how that works. I don't know. You going for a mugshot? I don't know.
It's been years since I've worked in law enforcement.
Her mugshot? We should have seen her mugshot, though. It would have looked incredible.
Girl, where's TMZ?
I know.
They let Kanye talk all the fucking time.
Sure
can
do.
We worry about Cardi B's mugshot? That is what the people really want to see.
Yeah, not this Frost Nixon shit with Harvey Levitt and Kanye. I
really want to see the new Roxy
Harvey
Hart.
Lovett? Sorry.
Harvey Levin?
Yeah.
Harvey Lovett?
Oh, my God. I'll save my slams for later in the episode.
Yes, we all love the new Roxy Hart of New York City.
Yes. Oh, I saw that. That was a cute comment of yours.
Thank you. I was trying to say it on the show for the people who don't follow me on Twitter.
Oh, God. Well.
Oh, good. That's what this podcast will come. Just Ira repeating his tweets.
Right. Yes.
That's what he does. You and your little jokes.
Me? Occasionally.
About sweaters and Christy Turlington or whoever.
All right. I haven't made a joke about Christy Turlington ever. It's fine. Whatever.
Okay. Anyway, later in the show, we will be joined by a very special guest.
A very special guest.
One of Kara's top white women and someone I've loved for years and someone Louis has never heard of, Kristen Bell from The Good Place and the upcoming Veronica Mars reboot.
And the most popular animated film of all time, Frozen. How crazy is that?
Well.
Guys, that's why she's on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frozen.
An accomplished young woman.
We're slowly working our way through all of my favorite white women.
I was just saying to Kara, wouldn't it be crazy if the one white woman on her list we couldn't get would be her teacher, who's just like, I'm a private person. call me when you're two dope queens.
We'll be right back. This weekend at brunch, Kara and I decided that we are not going to mention a certain rapper by name anymore.
Oh, sure.
On the show. We're tired of him.
I'm tired of having takes. It sucks.
What did we settle on calling him?
We were trying to think of a code word. I used it as an example as I was pitching this idea. I said orange, like we just say orange.
Sure.
But if we have a better
I would say
idea,
I associate that with Frank Ocean, unfortunately. I don't want to besmirch that.
Well, we just need a different word that we're going to use. We can call him spoon. We can call him keyboard. I don't give a fuck. But we're not saying the name.
Mr. Kardashian.
We could say Mr. Kardashian.
Yeah, who? Anything.
Okay. Yes. As long as we remind people that he is associated with her. Because, you know, Kris Jenner tries to play these games. Anyway, Mr. Kardashian came back to torture us yet again. It all started when he subbed in for Ariana Grande on SNL this weekend. And he and some rapper named Lil Pump. I'm old. What is a Lil Pump?
I know him because people that work with him, but yeah.
Is he that person that had that song with Chris Brown where he switched places?
Yes.
Or is that Lil something else?
I think that's right.
Lil Pump had Gucci Gang.
Gucci Gang. I love that song.
Yeah.
And he shot.
All is forgiven.
He shot a gun in his house once. Those are the Lil Pump highlights.
At someone?
I don't think so. I think it went off. His mom was there because he's like 17 or some shit like that.
Well, that is his Second Amendment right, Kara.
That sounds like a good wiki. I'll get to that one.
Well, they performed their track, I Love It, in Fiji Water and Perrier-inspired outfit.
It looked like a kindergarten graduation, like the kind of, you know, like silly
costumes.
Wait,
what's the name of the song?
I Love It.
What does that have to do with water?
They mentioned water or something in the lyrics for a split second, if I'm not mistaken.
They?
Yeah.
I just remember waking up to this email that Kara sent about this performance, and I saw a photo of Kanye looking like he was a Perrier bottle.
Yep.
I closed my phone, and I went back to bed.
Did you think you were high?
I did! Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
You should have thrown your phone into the ocean. Your phone had peaked at that moment. It shouldn't have given you that image.
I don't have a home in Malibu.
Well, get on it.
Just chuck my phone into the ocean. the ocean in West Hollywood.
Well, I'm just saying. By the way, we're already being generous calling it a performance because what they did was bop? I mean, like, what was the choreo that was actually occurring there?
Choreo, that is a kind word to use describing.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
Derek Huff was not in charge of this, no.
The kids of Zoom could get...
And then it somehow got worse.
Yeah. So after that, he closed out the show with one of his trademark political rants.
In a MAGA hat.
In a MAGA hat. A MAGA hat that he redesigned.
Oh, God, I know.
To look more fashionable.
It looks like a hat.
Yeah.
It looks the same.
That's like those people who wear the chic Confederate flag shirts designed by Ralph Lauren. He said that he was still thinking about his 2020 presidential run. He talked about being bullied by SNL cast members for wanting to wear his MAGA hat. He said that the Democrats
Alex Moffat really showed him up.
Taking fathers out of their homes to promote welfare. I don't know.
I don't know.
First of all, reports came that like no one bullied him.
No one bullied him. Also, you could hear people booing.
Yes, people were booing him. And we know about this rant because Chris Rock Instagrammed the entire thing.
I love how bullying is probably just they noticed he was sucking. That's what that means.
My favorite thing is, I mean, I'm not suggesting you go back and actually listen to the rant because God help you, but you watch the guys in the background who are like standing there, probably like, don't fuck with the hat, but okay, let's see. And you see them, they're sort of in the beginning, they're nodding, and you just see them like stop moving and it flooding over them that they are on television and like everyone sees them standing behind this man as he's saying this, and just the dread in their faces is just slowly taking over.
The darting, like Felix the Cat pupils. Yeah. Like, oh God, who do I turn to?
Yeah, and I think I also saw one of the cast members tweeted something like, I wasn't on stage for that shit. Like, they were all like, it wasn't me. All the black people were like, I wasn't there. It wasn't me.
I want to talk about the fact that he was even on SNL
in the first place.
Because if you recall, last week, Lorne Michaels did some sort of interview where he talked about the fact that Ariana Grande was originally supposed to perform, but then he rudely said that she had to pull out for, quote, emotional reasons, and that luckily Kanye was there to pick up the slack. First of all, that nigga is always ready.
Also, stop pretending like we're, no matter what, like, well, we had no choice. We had to book Kanye West.
Right. That didn't make
Kardashian.
Any sense to me. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, damn it. I fucked it up. At any rate, it's like we had a cancellation going on and it was going very well.
Also, you were airing out Ariana Grande's business, which we all know that she's had a lot. She was in like a fucking terrorist attack like a year ago. Her ex-boyfriend just died. She was groped on national camera. Like, let's give her a break. We know she's going through shit. You didn't need to be like, she was feeling emotional. She couldn't come to work. That was fucking stupid. And then, yeah, the idea that Kanye is the only one. Fuck all of us. We can't stop doing it.
Isn't Halsey always free?
I mean, isn't literally, if you told any
artist.
One
of the artist, Carpenters is alive.
Though Richard was right there, sure.
If you told any artist, would you like to perform during the first episode of the new season of Saturday Night Live? Everyone would say yes to that.
Everybody's fucking friends with Lorne Michaels, too. You're telling me Paul Simon can't, like, you know, get away from Edie Brickell for 2 seconds and get on stage and play the boxer, whatever the fuck he does? I say that affectionately. I like Paul Simon.
Bring Cardi back again.
Yeah whatever.
Well,
let Adam Driver play those songs from Inside Llewyn Davis. I don't care.
She was busy beating up strippers. Later, Mr. Kardashian posted a photo of him in his MAGA hat on Twitter and Instagram with the caption, "This represents good and America becoming whole again. We will no longer outsource to other countries. We build factories here in America and create jobs. We will provide jobs for all who are free from prisons as we abolish the 13th Amendment."
That hat is made in China. That hat is made in China.
He clarified his statement later, say he didn't mean to say abolish the 13th Amendment, you know, the one which ended slavery. He said the 13th Amendment.
Not is, his, no.
The 13th Amendment is slavery in disguise, meaning it never ended. We are the solution that he.
Wait, read that again.
The 13th Amendment is slavery in disguise, ... meaning it never ended. So the amendment that ended slavery was actually a smokescreen to keep slavery intact.
Oh.
And only the MAGA hat.
Right.
Can free us.
Yes.
He thinks the words of the 13th Amendment are trying to trick him.
We're still slaves? That's what he's trying to say.
Move over, Page Master.
we're still slaves. That's what he's saying? That's what he's trying to say.
That lets me know.
Because it would have been a lot easier to just say, we're still slaves.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
That seems like a choice. Right?
We're all still choosing to be slaves.
By the way, also, again, very elementary point here, and it's going to come up again when we talk about Lindsay. But just, this is a mentally unwell person. It's just, you don't think so?
Here's the thing. This is what I do not like, and I really, really hate this. He probably does have mental health issues. Yeah. We know that. However, conflating this bullshit.
Oh, no, it's not acceptable.
That's the thing. And I think even bringing it up in that, like, it's, and he himself has been like, I'm not saying this because of that. I'm saying this because
week,
I believe
this week
he
at
says
TMZ,
that all the time.
He did say, I'm fresh off my med. I'm like, off the meds. Like, I'm back in the gym working out.
But
he
I think bringing it up is a way of, and I'm not saying that's what you were doing, but I think people often bring it up as a way to sort of forgive it or just say, well, this is why he's saying those things. And it's like, to me, they're completely separate because there are plenty of fucking people with all sorts of other legitimate mental health issues who don't say stupid, ignorant bullshit like this. Plenty of them.
And also
most
of
them. People, almost all of them, to be fair.
And people get behind what he says. You know, like the Candace Owens or whatever, like, into it.
It just to me.
I know, isn't it shocking that I said, let's talk about Bergen. Let's talk about other Candaces. I'll take Candace Cameron. I don't care.
It's just he this is his dumbass talking, especially when he's talking about like saying shit like the 13th Amendment. He doesn't know anything. Mm-hmm. He literally doesn't know what he's talking about. And he's choosing to put himself in these positions where he can go on camera and say stupid shit like this all the time. His entire family, his team. There's a whole bunch of people who are letting him do this all the time. Where the fuck is Kris Jenner? Sure, her fucking Svengali ass is putting her hands in everyone else's life and her family.
She's running
E. And she's not, and she doesn't have any time to fucking control him.
She's running E! Network.
Do you think she's like writing the E! News ticker? Like, like typing it all out?
Yes. It's like a source close to the Kardashian reveals.
But that's the thing.
All right, Chris.
The fact that no one has stopped him, in particular, none of the Kardashians or Kris Jenner, it makes me think that they're sort of okay with what he's saying. Because,
of
like, the idea that they can't, like.
Reports came that she was unfazed sitting
exactly.
there watching it. She Instagrammed the other day. A photo of her and Kanye about, like, you know, we're still in love, whatever. She will always ride
That's
for
what
her
I'm saying.
Man.
So it's like they are by not doing anything and not saying anything. Like, I think Kim once was like, I'm out in for Hillary. Like, that's mm-hmm. the extent to which she said anything against what Kanye has really been doing. And so to me, I'm like,
the majority
of
Americans
this.
Did. It didn't work.
Exactly.
Also, how do you feel about Lana Del Rey stepping in with that Instagram comment? Basically read him to filth being like, you relate to Trump's megalomania probably, and it sucks for the culture that you're into him, basically. And it was like, I don't know her to be somebody who is a clap back type figure, so it was refreshing in a way.
It was weird seeing it, though. It's like, it's not like Lana Del Rey was with MLK shooting in the gym. Like, why?
Love why the image, though.
Why comment now? There's also this weird thing where, like, it's sort of the Chris Brownie thing where white celebrities love to hop in with, like, a black celebrity is doing something crazy. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't critique Mr. Kardashian and his MAGA hat, but it's like a lot of other celebrities and musicians are out here doing crazy shit.
Right.
But they only seem to want to comment on Kanye.
It's like Judd Apatow and Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
That was always my thing, where he was always going in on Bill Cosby, who is a fucking monster, and I'm glad he's going to prison. But I was like, you haven't mentioned anything else about any other, the many men who have committed sexual assault in Hollywood. You haven't really seemed to express a great deal of concern for the victims of sexual assault, and you're really, really going in on him. And it just is weird, and like, it is, you see certain people jumping in where I'm like, was your ass talking to Roseanne Ho? Did you, where was your Instagram comment for
right.
her?
The comment that I actually liked on Instagram was,
this was
Snoop Dogg.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see it.
Snoop Dogg fucking hates him.
He called him an Uncle Tom nigga, and he said, make your music great again.
If you had told me 10 years ago, 5 years ago, between Snoop and Kanye, who would have the correct political outlook right now, I'm not sure that it would have been. I think I would have been wrong. I think I would have been wrong on that one.
I think Snoop just loves living in California and smoking weed. He ain't bothering nobody. He's
hosting the Joker's Wild or whatever. He's having a good time.
We could talk about many of the other things Mr. Kardashian said, but I don't even think we have the time. He said he was calling Colin Kaepernick to try and bring him to the White House.
Talk about throwing phones into the ocean. Colin's like, you cannot reach me right now.
I mean, I don't need Colin hanging out with Kanye. I need Colin voting in the midterms, but that's a that's a whole other story. He's also talking about his new album called Yandy. And how he's, about
are we out of puns with that yet?
He wants to go record in Africa.
But not only, you know what he said? He said the place known as Africa.
Yes.
Again, words are conspiring against him.
They told me it was Africa in this episode of Carmen Sandiego, but I can't prove it until I check the soil myself.
And he was like, I'm going to go and bring my kids and we're going to cook. I don't know what that has to do with anything. And we're going to set their microphones up and record nature. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You can get nature sounds just on iTunes right now. You don't need to go
also,
and collect them.
Africa's a continent. In Africa are you going? It's a fucking continent, man. It's a huge, an enormous goddamn continent. Where are you going? Stop saying Africa. Generally, people, as a note, stop saying Africa when you're going to the entire fucking continent.
Well,
specify.
You know he is from every continent in Africa except for one.
Which
just
one?
Like Raven.
Oh, God. She is from every continent in Africa.
Oh, wow. I forgot all about
he
that.
He also said Kanye was his slave name and he was going to start going by Ye. Kanye is a Nigerian name.
That's an important fact.
I don't even know. Also, this nigga is apparently going to be headlining Coachella.
With
Justin Timberlake. I have never been so excited to not spend money. I think we're done talking about this. Forever. I would like to seal him in a tomb and never discuss him. Also, I didn't mean to slander you too. It was just a joke.
Oh.
I love you too. You know I love you too.
I like one song about you too, Mysterious Ways.
Okay. When we're back, Lindsay Lohan is kidnapping children. So, Lindsay Lohan, who was in Moscow, of all places.
Where she needs to be, if I had to pick one place.
Found herself back in the headlines this weekend. This was another thing that I woke up to Kara sending me. I saw it and immediately went back to bed. Lindsay posted in a since-deleted video to Instagram on Friday night, herself getting out of a car and approaching a family that she identifies as Syrian refugees in need of help. She tried to offer one of the children a stay at a hotel where he could watch a movie, and then she criticized the mother for not letting the children come with her, and also to say, you should not have them on the floor, you should be a hardworking woman, and you should be doing what you can for your children so they have a better life. Basically, they try to get away from this bitch, and Lindsay accuses them of trafficking the children in what sounded like Arabic.
I don't know.
Then she said that the family was ruining Arabic culture and don't fuck with Pakistan. And then she tried to kidnap one of the kids.
And then that lady punched her ass out.
It's a perfect human interaction.
What the fuck?
I mean, there's no answers. I mean, we've been down such a crazy road with Lindsay, and like the last seven rungs on her journey have made less sense than the last.
I didn't think she'd do anything crazier than Georgia Rule, but here we go.
I don't. She's in Moscow. She literally filmed her a kidnapping attempt.
This is how you throw a party in Moscow, bitch.
Like, it's just, her life never makes sense. I never understood why she is where she is. I
thought she was still in Mykonos filming her reality TV show.
She has a reality show?
She has a show called, like, where she's Alisa Vanderpump. She has a club in Mykonos.
What?
And they're filming it for MTV.
Oh, no.
And there was a meme of her recently dancing where she kept, like, thrashing her heavy hair around.
And the DJ is like, this is how you throw a party in Mykonos, bitch.
Do you remember when she became a spokesperson for lawyer.com?
I do.
Yes. Which I have since learned provides no legal services, like the name might suggest, but rather it pairs people with lawyers. So you'd be like, I'm Cardi B. I threw a shoe at Nicki Minaj. And they'd say, like, here's a lawyer who can help you. And Lindsay Lohan was the spokesperson for that organization.
By the way, I can also just picture Cardi B saying exactly that line.
Exactly that, yeah.
I threw a shoe.
Ow.
Here's the thing. You know what I kind of miss? The era before Twitter and social media where you could have reasonable doubts about how zany a celebrity was. Like, I sort of miss when you would just hear kind of reports that Sean Young had done something bizarre that, you know, I don't know, Margot Kidder had crawled through a bush or something. But that was all unconfirmed.
People? Yes.
Mary Lou Henner murdered someone.
And remembered it.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
But
I'm just saying, there was a time when you could be like, who knows if they're actually doing, you know, zany. Now it's like, this woman provided her own video evidence in real time on her Facebook page or something. So now it's just, now I'm thinking about how zany she is.
Also, why is she alone?
Right,
she strikes me as someone who should never be alone, ever. Someone should always, at all times, be with Lindsay Lohan.
You know, if Oprah can't help you.
I forgot about that. Damn it.
Our own producer, Corinne, worked on that show.
to quote Oprah, you need to cut the bullshit. If I'm not mistaken, that was the line.
So what is the truth?
God, that was so rough. You do not want to be read
Corinne
by
is
Oprah.
Literally having PTSD right now from that experience.
She also wore orange in that big interview with Oprah on that show.
Right.
Fall.
Also, I'm just saying, Lindsay Lohan has, like, my color, my complexion. I would not wear orange.
Personally. I also, the thing with her, too, and I know this is, she sort of developed the weird British accent a few years ago.
British is kind.
Yeah,
on.
Whatever. It's the Ira
Mine
accent.
Mine is better. Yeah. I will not be, I will not be slandered over here. You're mugging me off.
I mean, I don't know which is worse, to be honest. But and then now she has some sort of... I didn't understand what she was saying, the way she was speaking. Why does she speak Arabic? Or well, was she speaking Arabic? I don't know.
Do you know who's not doing this? Lacey Chabert. The rest of the Mean Girls cast, let's keep up with them.
I know.
What
you
are
know,
they doing?
I would actually love a Tina Fey sit down off the record. Hey, girl.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Tina, come on, keep it.
Tina, if, I mean, and I don't expect you to explain what happened to Lindsay, but I just would like to hear your thoughts.
Just give us a look.
I mean,
blink.
Yeah.
If you blink if you think Lindsay's not okay.
Imagine if she was like, all good here.
Does Lindsay still text Tina Fey? Do you think?
Well, like, she certainly tweets at her. I think she does tweet at her.
Well, you know, she's like the Nikki Blonsky in that way. She'll tweet at anybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I just wonder if Tina Fey sometimes wakes up in the morning to 15 texts from Lindsay. And she's like,
help me.
Back to Kimmy Schmidt.
These are unanswerable questions, unfortunately.
I don't know. I Lindsay Lohan is now, there's been so much that I forget everything. I forgot that she defended Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
Told Georgina Chapman she shouldn't have left her husband. Like, she just opens her mouth.
Hated the Me Too movement briefly.
Yeah, it's especially in a world where there is, frankly, more interesting crazy shit happening on a hourly basis. Lindsay, I'm like, you would really... You're not really bringing it enough for me. Like, this was crazy. Yes, the attempted kidnapping on camera was one thing. But, like, her other antics, I'm just like, ugh, we already have Azealia Banks. I don't know. Like, there's only so much we can process. You're not really bringing me enough to care.
Yeah, outside of this, I'm a little sick of her as, like, a camp object of affection, too. I just feel like she gets brought up all the time by, like, the kind of quote-unquote pop culture fans who say the words hot mess a million times a day and are just so, like... You know,
leave Christian Siriano alone.
Say, no. He brought us the words hot mess. I'm not criticizing the originator, but just like I'm just sick of like I don't get that much like happiness out of watching someone be. I mean, we just talked about Mr. Kardashian being, but watching someone be like indecipherable. I can't deal with it.
Yeah, it's like watching Mariah Carey deliver ice cream on TRL on a loop.
Yes,
it's. Unsettling.
We really thought that would be the most craziest celebrity would ever be at one point. And now it's like, what universe are we in?
Kidnapping children. What's next?
What's next? Where are your people? Hopefully nothing is next. Hopefully.
Yeah, clear the schedule.
Go back to
lawyer.com.
Go back to lawyer.com.
Be an administrative assistant.
See if Oprah will answer an email. Maybe.
Oprah's not answering an email.
Maybe she got her garden.
Maybe Ayanla at this point.
Ayanla fixed my just everything. Not just beyond my life.
I don't even want her on Keep It.
Lindsay?
No.
Now she's going to call you.
Yeah, now she's going to tweet at you.
I'm getting a call right now. Anyway, when we're back, Kristen Bell.
Question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero hand-holding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.
And we're back.
I'm like crying. I can't believe this is happening. Kristen Bell's here.
Oh, I thought you were crying because we're going to talk about political comedy.
Oh, that too. Yes, no. I mean, I'll start actually weeping in a second.
Okay, yes. Kristen Bell is here.
She is.
Sitting right next to us.
Woo!
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We love you.
I can feel it, and I love you right back. Well, it's such a lovely feeling.
Did you know we did something a few weeks ago where I made a list of my favorite white women, and you were on it. You were, you're on. Yeah.
Of course I saw it.
You're in good company, I think.
I was so flattered. I don't know why or how I made it or was even on your radar, but it was, I'm not going to lie, I felt great. I absolutely will not use false modesty. I was like, yes! What did I do so I can do it more?
Yeah.
You were alongside people like Christine Baranski and Elizabeth Warren, like people who should be installed on Mount Olympus. That, like, so just congrats. You're among the gods.
I'm not going to lie. It feels great, and I don't understand it, but I will take it.
All right, so I guess we'll just get into the show.
Sure.
And you can join us.
I would love to.
Political comedy. SNL's back.
That's true.
And Matt Damon guest starred as Brett Kavanaugh.
Now, I am usually an optimist. I'm a keg is half full kind of guy. But what I've seen from the monsters on this committee makes me want to puke and not from beer.
Did we enjoy the cold open?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, it was the first sketch of the season, so I expected it to be one way longer than the average sketch. So I was prepared for it being, yes, it was the movie Ben-Hur Plus. I would say it was sort of run-of-the-mill for SNL. Like, oh, they had a stunt casting. They brought back some old cast members. Did they give Rachel Dratch enough to do? Not for me. I thought the best part of it was actually Adie Bryant as Rachel Mitchell, because they had a take on that character that was unexpected. Like, I flew here on Southwest. I don't know what I'm doing. That was like a cute move for her. But otherwise, I thought it was just kind of like a little longish. Okay.
Yeah. Have you been following the Brett Kavanaugh of everything?
Yes. And in fact, I caught up mostly last night by watching John Oliver and that sketch, which I'm very glad I did, because that's the topic today. But I was in New York last week because I spoke at the UN General Assembly. So I actually had that day of like just being concerned with something else. And I was very grateful for it in like a self-care way of like, I don't know if I can watch this whole debacle because I know that it's not going to go the way I want it to go. Mm-hmm. Since then, I've seen a bunch of clips. And I actually thought it was pretty funny. I mean, first of all, let's start with the fact that Matt Damon's hair was on point. That is the shape.
It was a great look.
Of Brett Kavanaugh's hair. And like, just to think about all the people, like, look at your whole room, like how many people go into this. I always like try to acknowledge that. Whoever did his hair, it was like, because Brett Kavanaugh has like a weird shaped
whatever topiary artist like was in charge of that.
Yeah, it's a specific shape, and they did it. Yeah, it was excellent. And then I also like really laughed when they held up the huge headshot of Alyssa.
That was so funny
in the back.
Were you also invited by Dianne Feinstein?
No.
I just feel like she wanted a packed house.
I guess. I don't know what good I would have done there, because like I can just watch it on TV and then I can still tuck my kids in. So I didn't feel like the need to be there. But I'm glad people are, you know, taking a fierce interest in it.
Yeah.
I actually found it pretty funny. But I think the thing for me is I have such dread constantly. And I feel like that's the thing with SNL and the political comedy, where like when it was Sarah Palin, it was like, this is goofy and funny. What a nut. Because I think we were like, oh, she's not actually going to be the vice president. And now I'm like, oh, this man may actually be on the Supreme Court. And I find it a little hard to like laugh at that. But that's just me. Like, I know that like others, and it's good to find some sort of like laughter and joy. But I'm like, ha ha, except this won't be funny when he's a Supreme Court justice.
Right. Yeah.
I agree. But I also like, I'm sort of an optimist to a fault, and naively so, but I still believe in a hero. I think that there will be someone or some people that fix it. I think it's going to get dark, as it has gotten for a while, because yeah, it's hard to watch a funny comedy sketch and go like, but that man thinks he owns my vagina. That's really uncomfortable to think that he can make rules about my body, which is what he wants to do. But then somebody's going to swoop in. They do. I believe that goodness guides people. And so we're going to find someone.
Yeah.
Someone's going to fix it. The whole thing.
The whole everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
What were you speaking at the UN Assembly about?
I am the global advocate for the Women's Peace and Humanitarian Fund, which is like very interesting to me because it's the first of its kind. It's the first time that the that it's not like a board in another country making rules about a country in crisis. It's a fund that was set up based on this like measure called 1325 that was passed 12 or 13 years ago to give more opportunities to women, because the UN looked at numbers and 1% of funding trickles down, global funding trickles down to women's organizations, which, I mean, I always say, like, clearly women are not the only solution, but they're, like, definitely more than 1% of the solution.
We're the main one, though.
We can get rid of most men.
I don't want to be cocky, but
no.
You know.
I'm fine with saying that.
So what they do is the structure of, you know, you get all the, I was basically, like, just begging all these ambassadors and, like, the, you know, Prime Minister of Ireland for more money, but the fund, it takes local women's organizations on the ground in countries in crisis. So like in Iraq, in Burundi, in Bangladesh, and they take local women's organizations to say, what's your idea to fix your community? Then they fund it. Then they give you tech training, managerial training, capacity training to run your organization, your local nonprofit. And then if the idea is successful and you start to feed everybody or you start to get everyone healthcare or jobs, they franchise that idea. So it's not a global board making decisions about a country in crisis. It's taking ideas. And I'm such a believer in grassroots. I don't think it's the most appropriate thing to make decisions about someone else's problem. You got to talk to them and see what they need. Yeah. So their goal is to raise $40 million by 2020. And we're currently in 5 different countries, but there's crisis countries, there's need in 24. So we're just trying to up it and see how many local women we can help themselves in their communities.
So you're doing things.
Trying.
That's radder than anything I will ever do. So congrats.
Do you think because you're on a show called The Good Place, do you think it's trickled into, I better do good things so people don't think this is like false advertising?
No, because I have been
always been good,
pathologically preoccupied about how to be a better person since I've been 5 years old. Like I was born with it. And then to a degree that it's like sometimes not healthy. It's like, calm down. And it's definitely like I have to remind myself not to let it get into ego, because I've been in the philanthropy space for 20 years and I've never seen bigger egos than in the philanthropy space. I'm the first to admit that. But I do think it now as an adult feels more like a responsibility. Like the reason I wanted to do The Good Place is because I am actually like obsessed with like, how do we share Earth? Like Earth is a really hard place to be alone, let alone with like billions of people, however many people are here now. So I think I learned all that stuff about the Women's Peace and Humanitarian Fund from the UN people who created it and just gave me phone call after phone call of lesson after lesson about what they do. But my responsibility comes in the fact that if I can get the attention of an 18-year-old by doing something goofy, which is like what I've made my career out of doing, then I have a responsibility to grab that person's ear and say, do you know there are really cool things you can be concerned about? And it can be enlightening and it can be fun and it doesn't have to be negative, like the current political climate. Like you can fight for other people and that's really cool. So bringing bigger ideas that aren't necessarily like sexy ideas to people who wouldn't normally care, I feel is like when I put my head on the pillow is definitely my responsibility.
It's great. And it goes in the face of a lot of what we talk about on the show, you know, the fact that some people are like, celebrities, you know, should stay in their lane and not talk about politics. Whatever
that
means.
I find
that
so comical. Like, I'm not a citizen because I'm a celeb, because I have a job that makes you laugh. Like, I'm stripped of my citizenship. That's ridiculous.
Also, if you loved Trump, they would have you on Fox News every night.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, everyone's allowed to have opinions. And I'm raising 2 girls right now that I'm teaching to have opinions. Or rather, dare I say, I'm not teaching them to have opinions. I'm not cutting down their opinions at an early age. I'm not breaking them and asking them to stand in line and being sort of a stricter parent. I'm allowing them to just like sit with all their opinions so that when they grow up, they know that that's okay to have. They're born with a ton of opinions. I'm just trying not to break them.
There was a man recently who said to me, you have too many opinions. Like I was saying something, he was like, oh, you have a lot of opinions. Mm-hmm. That conversation did not go well for him.
Yeah.
I think, as we would know. But
also, what did you do? Like,
he's
I'll have 7
now.
Less.
Yeah, I was like, yeah he's gone.
He's dead. So we've actually invited you here to help cover up
a
murder.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
If you would like to.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, no. But really, all of that to say, more women with opinions. is really...
Yeah. Well, you know what? Like, I always look to Glennon Doyle. Do you know the writer Glennon Doyle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's like... I appreciate her wisdom so much. And she, when this applies to this, because when asked why she cries so often, she says it's the same reason I laugh so often, because I'm paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have a lot of opinions if you're paying attention.
Right.
One of my favorite things about you, this actually dovetails with what you said, but like specifically on both Veronica Mars and The Good Place, you play somebody who like grounds very heightened set of circumstances, and it like it's a credit to you as an actress that people like relate to you in these weird fucking shows, you know, that have like, you know, terrible murders, or they have, or it's in, you know, The Good Place, which is in like a crazy pseudo paradise. Is it ever daunting as a celebrity to be so relatable?
Is it daunting? No, it feels correct. I don't want to get to a place where I feel like I'm not a human being, like every single person I pass on the street. Because like I sometimes when I'm in my head and I'm like walking down the street or driving and I'll see a group of people and it will just occur to me and kind of like make my brain short circuit. I'm like, every single one of those people has fights with their parents. Every single one of them has a favorite color, a favorite ice cream, foods they hate. Some of them can handle cilantro, some of them can't. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not the only one who feels like I have all this stuff, you know, that makes me me. Like, everybody feels that way. And I think it's recognizing the inherent value in everybody that makes me want, like, I want to be one of us. I like being human very much. And I don't think that me liking being human should, like, you know, negate someone else's ability to be just as important. I didn't answer your question, and I don't even remember what it was. It was something about Veronica Mars, but...
I heard a piece of information about Veronica Mars that yeah. Lewis and I were talking about before that is very thrilling.
What?
Well, you know one of the new writers for the reboot.
Of course. I know all the new writers.
There's a very tall man.
Yeah.
Who was very good at basketball.
Can you even believe that?
It's crazy. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to be a writer on the reboot.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound like an SNL sketch?
Yes.
Where they're like, who's... But apparently... And I said, Rob Thomas, our creator, told me about it. And I didn't know if he was joking because he's pretty funny. But he was like, Kristen, he's an amazing writer. Apparently, he's been writing for all...
He's written books?
Yeah. And for like op-eds and stuff. He's written all sorts of things. And in the writing community, he's very well respected mm-hmm. because he has like a crazy creative voice. And Rob was like, I really wanted to see his specs.
Wow.
And sent his material over, and he hired him. And I think it's amazing.
Also, I'm actually worried, like, he could step on you. I mean, he's just like a 9-foot tall person.
But I can't wait for
but
all
I'm
those
fast.
That's
I'm
true.
So fast.
I can't, think of all the fun photos you get to take because you're...
Your of his
petite.
Knees?
Yeah, and yeah. then and he's standing there.
Yeah.
Just dazed.
Also, he really got me through my... first pregnancy, my first labor, because he was on a show called anybody? Splash, maybe? It was a celebrity
the
diving
show.
Competition.
Oh.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
It was amazing. It was like Drake Bell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Louis Anderson?
Louis Anderson, who like, that was a little for me because like every time, like Louis got tens all around
mm-hmm.
every time he dived. Which was a whole nother thing. But everybody had to like learn how to be a professional diver. And it was nuts because that's so hard. And you just had to watch them. And like the first one, someone like broke their ankle diving,
oh
which
God.
I'm not even sure how that's possible. And when I went into labor, we were sitting at right after I got my epidural, obs, I was sitting in the bed in, you know, the next 33 hours of my life for labor. And we were like, oh, my God, Splash is on tonight. Oh, my God. Perfect. And we just turned it and watched like a marathon of like 3 episodes
of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar diving.
Yeah. Yeah. He worked really hard on that show.
And he's been a fan of Veronica Mars for.
So
forever.
I've heard, which is so.
And I'm glad it's coming back.
That's right. Yeah, me too.
I donated to the Kickstarter.
You did?
I did.
You sweetheart.
Yeah, when the movie was coming out.
That, I mean, this show will be very different from the movie. But the movie is like, we had an obligation to fulfill all the fans' fantasies,
yeah.
you know? And it was very much like, literally Rob says, he's like, I had to start with, how do I get Veronica to punch the most popular girl in school in the face? And then I write backwards. Because the fans funded it, you have an obligation to give them
yeah.
what they
mm-hmm.
want. But in this one, it's going to basically be a much more adult world, and it'll be Veronica and the other characters living as adults. So it'll be different, but...
I mean, I donate however much money to have some respect paid to Piz.
Couldn't agree more. Mm-hmm. Not going to charge you this time, but couldn't agree more.
Always been my favorite.
Yeah, and Chris Lowell, what a sweetheart.
Yeah.
What is it like to just, you're playing a character, Dan, you first played Veronica Mars, what, 15 years ago now?
Yeah.
I mean, like, to live with that character in your head for that long, is it, like, intimidating to have to add new dimensions to her?
A little bit, but no, I'll just rewatch the series and remember how she feels about everything specifically, because I think I know, like, I definitely feel like I know who she is, but I'll rewatch it. And then the thing I'm most excited about is, like, we always say she's a hero without a cape. And I think the world needs that right now. I think that there was a time, my husband always says, you know, a couple years ago, whenever we loved to root for the anti-hero because everything felt a little safer. And, like, Walter White was awesome and Breaking Bad was awesome. And now I think that's scary. I think it's scary. I think you want to see someone who's fighting for goodness, who's fighting for the underdog, because that's what we need right now, like, for our hearts in entertainment.
Yeah, we need that. And I really enjoy The Good Place as well. It just makes you feel good about being a human being.
Yeah. It's so hard to be a human being. And it makes you laugh at it, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, speaking of The Good Place, we have a game for you
to
play before you leave. It's called Good Place, Bad Place.
Oh, geez.
We're going to list some
things. I'm too nice. I send everything to The Good Place, no matter how bad it is.
There's no way you're sending all these things to The Good Place.
Okay.
So Kristen Bell will decide whether these things belong in The Good Place or The Bad Place.
Okay.
And we're going to start the clock.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
Drinking red wine on the beach.
Oh, duh. Good place if you like red wine on the beach.
Brilliant.
People who come to a full stop to make a right turn.
Ooh, see, then you're put, like, I can't send grandparents to the bad place, and a lot of grandparents do that. So, good. By the way, no, good place for safety.
Yeah.
Oat milk.
Oh, good place, I guess, because if people like it.
I love oat milk.
I don't know, everything is subjective.
Friends who make the switch to Androids.
I'm on an Android.
Oh, my God.
So good place, but I've always been on an Android.
Wow.
Cardi B's missing shoe.
I don't know what that is.
She threw it at Nicki Minaj.
She threw a shoe at Nicki
Minaj. Oh, no, you can't throw shoes at people. No, you're going to get a timeout.
Chokers.
Oh, if you love it, it's in your good place. If you hate it, like you hate when people are on their Bluetooth, then it's in your bad place. Oh, sorry, I'm so bad.
No, you're doing well.
The season fall.
Oh, good place. Best place.
Oh, my God.
Best place?
This is an ongoing fight we're having on the show.
Lewis hates fall.
Why?
White people in orange.
Oh.
There's that. Also, just walk. Wet leaves are too wet. You know
where'd you grow up? We live in L.A. There are no wet leaves here.
Just the idea of them.
Where'd you grow up?
Suburb of Chicago.
Probably a beautiful fall, the foliage.
Yeah, see, I want to know more about this because I grew up in Detroit. Mm. And
I'm from Milwaukee. I love the
fall. Yeah, the fall is great because it's also like... do you not like Halloween?
No, like not really. I don't, you know what I really don't like?
Can you check
back
your
to
pulse
school.
Real quick for me? We check your pulse, make sure your heart is beating. It's Halloween. It's so fun.
I just feel like if I want to dress slutty, that's what the summer is for.
Okay, point taken. You don't like going back to school. That's a good point.
Right. It's also just the worst part of school. Like, I'm not a big homecoming dance fan.
But I think I look best in the fall. Like, I'm not sweaty. My hair is doing what I told it to do. The outfits, you're not under a bunch of layers.
You're fresh. Just put this wardrobe together.
Yeah. We can put jackets on in LA. It's perfect.
Yeah, that's like a little nice little overcoat. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you something, though? I just bought a trench coat because I'm in the trench wearing community, and they look so stupid in LA. Like, I'm never going to get to wear it.
No, not now. Trenches are very in now.
You think so?
Yeah, like, even those trenches that are made, like, all out of, like, just silky material. Mm-hmm. I'm really digging
that.
That's
what
right
it is.
Now.
It's very, like, silky military.
Ooh, I just want to walk around looking like I'm in the Matrix.
Yes.
At all times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. You don't like fall. And you don't like that smell, even being from Chicago. Like I go back to Detroit and I like smell the smells of like going to the cider mill and stuff.
Whoa. You're like a John Irving book or something. I like colors.
It's not your
the
thing.
The coolness,
a lot of
the
cinnamon.
Dampness. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I get that. But isn't that really why Earth is so fun? Because there's all these like different diverse opinions and people can like different seasons and we can all respect. Look at us having a beautiful discourse about a disagreement.
I'm on the fence about Earth personally. But
yeah. Thank you so much for being here,
Thanks
Kristen.
For having me.
You rule. Keep ruling.
People should watch The Good Place on NBC Thursday night. And when we're back, Keep it. And we're back with, once again, like 2 weeks in a row, this is the second favorite part of the episode now.
Oh, yeah.
We had Natasha last week, who killed it. We had Kristen this week, who killed it. Our other guests need to start bringing it.
Right.
How can we go back to John Lovett?
I know.
after this. Anyway, it's time for Keep It.
It is.
Kara, what's your Keep It?
My Keep It is to the upcoming interactive episode of Black Mirror. Black Mirror is a show on Netflix about scary dystopian technology things.
And also lesbian romance.
That too. And I really enjoy Black Mirror, although I did have to stop because I was getting scared because it felt too much like the world I'm currently living in. But they announced that in the new season of Black Mirror, there will be a choose your own adventure episode. Viewers will choose the storyline and make the decisions. They'll determine the next course of events for the characters. I feel like I'm already living in a dystopian nightmare. I don't need to watch an episode of Black Mirror and get even more into it and more immersed in whatever terrifying shit inevitably that episode is going to be about. I'm scared enough as is. I live in a dystopian choose-your-own-adventure. That's every day. Every day of my life now is exactly that. I don't need to watch it on my couch with my Netflix. I am fine. We're good. We're good. Just make the TV. Just make the TV. I don't want to be pulled into it anymore. This is my escape. And I just don't need it. I'm stressed out already. This feels stressful. I don't like having to do work when I'm watching television.
Right.
You know, I'm like, you guys do it. That's what you get paid for. Make it already. Make the decisions. But mostly I just, I'm already terrified and I don't need to feel more so.
Also, when it comes to watching TV, I'm already stressed out by having to make one choice of a TV show. There's so much TV out there. Don't make me make choices within
all
the
these
TV
other choices,
show. You know?
Yeah.
The only interactive TV show I want to see is Love Island.
Okay.
I'm still watching
you
it.
You have one speed now, and it's that fucking show.
I'm sorry. I am 40 episodes in, and I cannot stop.
What is this, Gunsmoke?
4-0?
Why does it have 40 episodes?
It aired nightly during the summer in the UK. And then they would have a recap episode each week. So it aired for 60 episodes aired.
Maybe that's the television I need because I really loved the first couple of seasons of Black Mirror. And then at one point I was like, oh no, this might happen. Oh God, this is happening. This literally feels like this is happening right now.
That's why I prefer like the San Junipero ones. Like I like the romance episodes.
I loved Nosedive.
Oh, that was a good episode.
That's my favorite one. But yeah, it's just, I mean, legitimately Black Mirror started scaring. Like I had been watching it in 2016 and then Donald Trump was elected and I was like, oh God, no, I gotta just watch The Office for the 45th time.
Also, I still have not seen the San Junipero episode, and I have lied to so many gay people by having seen it, and then I hide behind my vodka soda until they go away.
Because you hate the L in LGBTQIA+.
Oh, you figured it out. I'm not the one who like exclusively listens to lesbian music. Jesus Christ. Good attempt at a read. Maybe next time, sweetie.
What's your fucking keep it?
I don't mean to be a continuous downer about fall, but my
do you
keep
not...
it... Well, I do.
Okay. I think you
it
love
is
it.
Fun for me. My keep it is to fans of the movie Hocus Pocus. Guys, it's shitty. I'm sorry. Here's the problem with this movie. If it were
there are so many head shaking right now, by the way, in
no,
this room.
They're quaking, as they say. If the movie were actually about the three witches, it would be a great movie. But it's really about these damn kids and their like trick or treating adventure. So that's nothing.
You know what, Lewis?
You're gonna call me anti-Thora Birch.
Done it.
Today?
Because I fucking agree. I hate Hocus Pocus!
It's a bad movie.
It's trash! It is a bad fucking movie. I'm tired of people talking about it every fucking Halloween. It's not good.
It's not good.
I don't want a Hocus Pocus 2.
And by the way,
I don't want to see those kids.
By the way, it's not even quotable. There are like two quotes from Bette Midler that are fine. You want to see a Bette Midler movie? You go see First Wives Club. You go see For the Boys, whatever. Sarah Jessica Parker, go watch LA Story. There's a show she was on, Sex and the City. Kathy and Jimmy, we have Sister Act, and she is wonderful on the
those
pyramid.
Those are children's shows. This movie is for children.
If everybody who was into Hocus Pocus would just be twice as into Addams Family Family Values, the world would be a better place. And by the way, Adam's Family Values, you got your Angelica Houston, Joan Cusack, and Christine Baranski, who was on the white lady list.
I think you all are confused because you're grown men. That show is for children.
I didn't like it when I was a child.
For children, it is an appropriate, delightful movie. I'm not surprised adult men are not enjoying Hocus Pocus. Well, it was not made for them.
Well, you better go to BuzzFeed.com right now where adult men are sitting around talking about it right now and forever.
First of all, Hocus Pocus came out when we were children.
Yeah, I was seven.
I did not like it then. Also, I think that movie is kind of inappropriate for kids. They make a lot of sex jokes.
Totally.
Oh, please.
Oh, and Gary Marshall's in it being creepy?
My children aren't watching it.
Oh, God.
Bad movie. Plenty of other great Halloween movies.
Ira Madison IV will not be watching Hocus Pocus.
Well, you just said there were great Halloween movies, which makes you sound like you think Halloween is okay if you think there are great Halloween movies.
I don't mean to tolerate, I don't mean to give any credibility to the horror community. I don't like you guys either, including you, Ira.
What?
Horror fans need to be quiet. That's for next week. Ira, what's your keep it this week?
My keep it is for this messy, rich white people feud going on between the Trumps and Gavin Newsom.
I don't even know what this is.
Gavin Newsom, our California gubernatorial candidate.
My favorite hair gel purchaser.
You know his ex-wife, Kimberly, I don't know how to pronounce
it. Guilfoyle?
I don't know. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Kimberly Jabberjaw. Is now dating Donald Trump Jr.
Oh, that's his ex-wife?
Yes.
Really?
And now Trump gets constantly talking about Gavin Newsom at rallies, attacking him. And I can't help but think it's him trying to be helpful to Don Jr. because Gavin is his son's new girlfriend's ex-husband.
That Fox News dead-eyed lady?
Yes.
Her?
She's giving interviews now, too, about how she broke up with Gavin Newsom because he, like, was getting too far left for her. And, you know, it's also because of a reported affair, but we don't have to get into that.
I do have to say, both Gavin Newsom and Donald Trump Jr. style their hair the exact same way. It's kind of like when Nicole Kidman moved on from Tom Cruise to Keith Urban. It's like, wow, you just picked the same silhouette in beige.
But taller.
Yes. Right. But what? He's like 5'4 and a half and Tom Cruise is 5'4.
Is Keith Urban short too?
He doesn't seem tall.
Maybe it's the cowboy boots.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, this is, I don't even want to like denigrate like Dynasty or Dallas by calling, like this is
some Wendy Dang shit.
Yes. This is.
Well, Wendy Dang is incredible. let's be clear. She's terrible, but
peerless.
Peerless and unbelievable. And I'm so afraid of her, but I really like her.
Yeah, no, she's got some X Factor.
This is some General Hospital shit is what it is.
Trump is tweeting about.
No, Trump is at his rallies calling out Gavin Newsom. He's like, you heard about this guy running for governor in California? And Gavin Newsom keeps tweeting at Trump too, responding.
No.
I need everyone to shut the fuck up. And this is so gross.
Also, Gavin, this is beneath you. This entire family, everyone is above Donald Trump.
Let your ex-wife go.
Or just like this, all of this, if you want to be, you're a politician, you want to be the governor of California, like tweeting at Donald Trump is so far beneath you over this petty bullshit. Like, what are you doing?
And it's always that thing where it's like, hey, at real Donald Trump, want to clear up a few things? Like, he's going to sensibly respond to you.
Right, yeah. Yeah, he doesn't even at people back ever, right? Guys, don't be stupid. Never at tweet.
Only people from American History X. Anyway, that's my keeper.
I didn't know about this, and I'm not thrilled. Yeah. I saw Gavin Newsom's name again. There are so many things happening at all time. I saw FCC, Elon Musk. I was like, what's happening? There was the Kavanaugh stuff. I saw Gavin Newsom and I was like, this is not, I can't click.
I mean, I just mostly ignore it because I can never remember how to pronounce his ex-wife's last name. Like, Kimberly, Master of Disguise. Like, what is it? Guilfoyle?
Like there's like a Y in it.
Guilfoyle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I interviewed Gavin Newsom in college. That is a suave man. I'll say it. University of Iowa. Go Hawkeyes. I love my schooling.
I really can't stand you. Also, horror movies are great. Jamie Lee Curtis, Halloween.
Coming back? No, that I'm excited for. No, you don't have to tell me to be excited about Jamie Lee Curtis.
A Star Is Born.
Did you call that a horror? That's your hot take this week?
I think Bradley Cooper kills her.
I mean, that window scene, I just want another look at you.
Hey.
I just want another look at you. If that's not straight out of a horror movie.
What's your favorite movie, Gaga?
Did we just get Kara's impression of Bradley
that
Cooper?
That was my Bradley Cooper impression.
Bottle that. Yeah.
How was it?
It was good.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
Thank you.
I don't know how we can top this episode next week, but we'll try.
We'll just read Hocus Pocus.
We ain't reading anything about Hocus Pocus.
Leave through the ceiling in a great glass elevator, because I'm not sitting for that.
Great glass elevator.
Yeah. That's a good book.
I love Roald Dahl.
Me too.
The Witches, a much better movie than Hocus Pocus.
Real
witches.
The book is great.
Angelica Houston. Okay. Ripping off the face mask.
Okay.
That's two Angelica Houston mentions this episode. I win.
We'll see you next week.
Quick question. Are you politically engaged and spiritually exhausted?
If you said yes to both, welcome home. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And we're the hosts of Hysteria, the podcast for women who care about democracy, culture, and not losing their minds in the process.
We break down the news, call out the nonsense, and spotlight the women actually fighting back on Capitol Hill, in classrooms, and everywhere the stakes are high.
It's sharp, honest analysis featuring women's voices with humor and zero handholding.
Listen to Hysteria wherever you get your podcasts and watch full episodes on YouTube.